Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the After Buzz podcast. My name is Nico Adjimian, your host of the After Buzz. And of course with me, the man, the myth, the legend, Buzz Adams.
Hello, hello.
You like that?
It's pretty good.
That was pretty good, right?
Hey, should we point out at the beginning of these that I go in blind? I don't know what the topics are going to be.
I think you say that pretty often.
Okay, I just want to point that out.
Why do you need to even make that clear? You don't want people to confuse.
If I say something that's non-factual, I'm doing this on the fly,
off the
top of my head.
Yeah.
You're doing this. You know, if I had researched the topic, I would know more.
Nobody
about
wants you to research.
They just want me to go in cold. Well, that's what I'm doing, but full disclosure.
Hear the unadulterated thoughts of Buzz Adams. Excuse me. My hernia has been acting up a little lately. Mike Johnson, our House Speaker.
Yep. Good old Mike.
Yeah, he is mansplaining religion to the Pope.
Okay.
He cited the Bible yesterday to counter the Pope's view on migration. You want to hear exactly what he said?
Sure.
All right, well, there's like a 13-minute Fox News video, so I'm not going to try and search through all of that.
Are you going to play audio?
No. But, so that Pope Leo basically has advocated for the humane treatment of migrants. He said in October, he referred to the Gospel of Matthew 25, what is it? How does that work? Chapter and verse? So chapter 25, verses 31 to 40.
Chapter 25, verse comes second.
The church has always recognized in migrants a living presence of the Lord, who, on the day of judgment, will say to those on his right, I was a stranger, and you welcomed me.
That's in there for sure.
Well, during a press conference on Capitol Hill yesterday, a reporter spoke to Johnson saying, Pope Leo has cited Matthew 25:35 to critique Donald Trump's mass deportation. How would you respond to Pope Leo in scripture?
And what'd MAGA Mike say?
Well, MAGA Mike said, borders and walls are biblical from the Old Testament to the New. God has allowed us to set up our civil societies as separate nations. Immigration is not something that's frowned upon in scripture. We're welcome to love our neighbors as ourselves. But what's also important in the Bible is that assimilation is expected and anticipated and proper.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of starting to diverge a little bit. Does he cite chapter and verse?
He goes on. Roman 13 says that the civil authorities are God's agents of wrath to bring punishment upon the wrongdoer.
Oh, so the Nazis were actually working for God, if you use that logic, right?
That's absolutely.
And right, it says, right. It's like, well, the government, God approved of everything they do. Well, how about the evil ones, like, you know, the one you're all mixed up with?
He says, if you do right, you have no fear of the civil authorities. But those civil authorities are necessary. It's a calling. It's a calling to maintain order in society, and we have not had that.
You know, there was a civil. There were plenty of civil leaders that didn't like the new religion that was going around, so they took people who were adherents to the new religion and crucified them or threw them to wild animals in the Colosseum. But I guess Mike would be all for that. You're definitely Team Nero there, huh?
He goes on to say, sovereign borders are biblical, good, and right. They are just.
All right, listen, Jesus said in his own words, so this is the part of the New Testament that's in red. That means this is what Jesus said, to be kind to strangers. I mean, it's in there. There are stories
pretty
in the
defined,
Old Testament
yeah.
that definitely you're pissing off God if you're not kind to strangers.
He speaks about the numerous criminal migrants and saying that the society has a biblical right to stop such people from entering.
Okay. Yeah, but you know what they're doing? They're going to people who came in on an asylum claim, and they got documentation for their asylum claim, and they wait for them at the judges, you know, at the courthouse or wherever they're going to be, and nab them there. I mean, they made an asylum claim, which at one point in this country we recognized, you know, thank God Stephen Miller's family was able to come as refugees when the Nazis were active.
What's a criminal migrant, though? Because if you're an illegal migrant, you're a criminal at that point.
What they are defining it as, anybody who is undocumented and in the country. It's not like,
they're going to be a murderer.
To the MAGA mindset, that is a criminal. If you're here and you're undocumented, even if you came on a on a compelling asylum claim, that's enough to be a criminal, and they just tack on violent or sexual. You know, it's just...
Well,
it's
it would
definitely
be one
the
thing
kind
if you
of
said,
shit talking that Jesus was not cool with.
It would be one thing if you said the fact that we gain numerous violent criminal migrants, and then I think
most Americans would say, "Yeah, get rid of them."
Right, but then we would have to look at the numbers and be like, "Mike,
you put a 5-year-old in prison."
Look, yeah, exactly. Look at the numbers. You're getting far more normal people than you are violent.
If you were to corner
criminals.
Them, I'm sure they would say just the fact that they're present in our country without documentation, which is not even a criminal offense. I'm sorry, it's not classified as a criminal offense. Unless under certain circumstances.
Isn't this interesting, though? He's saying this in counter-argument to the Pope.
I would imagine, I don't know, Mike Johnson could be a Catholic, but probably...
I think he's Protestant.
He's probably Protestant. Yeah. And you might be able to differ with the Roman Pope if you hold a Protestant point of view, but he's wrong. The Pope is right.
He says that the Bible is the only thing that we need to... answer all of our questions. So I'm pretty sure
Mike says that, or
yeah,
not even the Pope says that.
Well, no, the Pope wouldn't say that.
Yeah,
because they don't just believe in the Bible; they believe in the pontifical succession of St. Peter's authority,
infallibility.
Yes,
sure.
That's kind of kooky things.
The Catholics got busy really early on making up a bunch of rules that weren't necessarily in the Bible.
Exactly,
but it's almost as old as the Bible.
Okay, so this morning, well, this is a nice segue of religion. This morning we got a message in our app chat, and thank you for anybody who uses the app chat. It's a direct line just to us. Nobody else can see it. If you want, you can just go to your KLIQ mobile app or the website, KLIQ.com, and click on the chat button. Well, this is, his name, he just goes by AT. Oh, Armando Torres, okay? And he asked, good morning, can you ask Buzz about Nimrod and the Book of Enoch? Thanks. This was at 7:19 a.m. And I was like,
what am I ChatGPT all of a sudden?
Right. So, I should have said that. This, you know, Buzz is not ChatGPT.
I mean, I could tell you the basic facts.
Well, then he goes, I was like, why do you ask? Like, why would you even ask out of the blue? He goes, well, I want to know his thoughts on the Book of Enoch and the discovery of the tomb of Nimrod around the same time as the Iraqi war and the ties of the elites, in quotation marks, wanting Nimrod's DNA.
is it Armando?
AT.
It is an interesting question. You referenced the Book of Enoch. That is not part of the Catholic or the Protestant Bible. It's called the Apocrypha.
It is part of one Bible.
The Ethiopian.
The Ethiopian Bible. And they are the only tradition that will hold it or still hold it.
But it is not in, if you have a standard King James or NIV Bible or whatever, you're not going to find the Book of Enoch in there. And even in the Hebrew faith, it's not considered a source that most scholars take seriously in that faith.
It is
either.
Not.
Wait, you know this already?
Oh, me? Yeah. Yeah, I know this.
Oh, okay.
I know quite a bit about the
Enoch
Apocrypha.
Supposedly was the great-great-grandfather of Noah and the father of Methuselah, who had the longest lifespan of anybody recorded in the Bible.
In... the book of Jude, verse 1, wait, what is it? Chapter 1, verses 14 through 15.
All right, so specify for you here. Jude is the second to last book in the New Testament.
It says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, like, when the writers of those books meant to be taken literally or when they were speaking maybe in a parable or, it's interesting what some people want to grab onto as being literal.
Yeah, so this is super interesting. Let's get into it.
So what is he saying? That we found the tomb of Nimrod, the great hunter, and the elites want to get his death. Okay.
Because he has part giant angel blood in him.
Oh, is he part of the Nephilim, uh-huh. Supposedly? Okay, this is bug-ass crazy. You've just gone down a rabbit hole here. you're never going to find satisfactory answers for. It's just nuttery.
All right, let's get into it. The Book of Enoch So Enoch is mentioned briefly in the Bible and Genesis specifically, where this is literally the only mention of it in this book. He, quote, walked with God and then was not, for God took him.
Yeah, Enoch never died. He was just taken up by God
into heaven, and he's given, okay, well, you don't find this out here, but in the book of Enoch, it's his journey through heaven and the cosmos.
Uh-huh.
The angels have taken him. So he gives a detailed description.
Wait, so if he was already gone, who wrote it down?
You know what?
Did he mail it back to Earth?
Okay. In the book of Enoch, it expands into an epic journey. The Watchers.
Sounds like Pilgrim's Progress.
And you know what? The Watchers. The book begins with 200 angels who descended to Earth. They take human wives and teach humans forbidden knowledge like metallurgy, sorcery, and cosmetics.
Oh, cosmetics.
Very forbidden knowledge. The Nephilim are the offspring of these angels and the humans.
Mighty men of renown.
Cannibalistic giants who devastate the earth or mighty men.
Okay, nothing in the Old Testament that we recognizes the Old Testament talks about them being cannibals.
No, this is in the book of Enoch about them being these giants who devastate Earth.
I would just say the book of Enoch didn't get picked to be included.
It
seems
not.
Like it might be a lot of fan fiction, maybe based on earlier writings.
Well, okay, so it is sourced to about 300 BC.
Sure.
300 to 100 BC. The intercession. Enoch is recruited by God to act as his intermediary. He has to tell the fallen angels they will receive no peace or forgiveness. And then finally, the heavenly tour. The rest of the book follows Enoch as he's shown the secrets of the universe, the dwelling of the dead, and the future coming of the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people point to Enoch for its supposed references to the Messiah / Jesus Christ, and also its end time kind of apocalyptic imagery and what it kind of shows there.
Yeah, it's colorful mythology.
It's
very, very interesting
mythology.
And compelling to people.
Contrary to the tradition that Enoch wrote it before the flood, scholars have dated the various sections based on the Dead Sea Scrolls to about 300 BC to 100 BC, which would have been way after the flood. Although people say that he must have been before the flood because he was before Noah, like you said. Multiple authors. It's a composite work
Written by multiple authors.
Yeah, over 200 years.
You find that time and time again. They don't get a copyright and you can't change a word. This stuff gets told verbally. It gets written down. It gets copied. The translation changes multiple times before you get to it. I am telling you, it is a fool's errand to try and read the Bible as a literal historical account.
So why was the Book of Enoch not included in the modern day Bible? Well,
freaky. You're talking about cannibalistic giants and stuff.
You are on the money on some of it. Okay, there were authorship doubts by the 4th century church fathers like Jerome and Augustine doubted that it was written by the historical Enoch.
Well, I mean, come on.
Well, they thought at the time it could have been.
What are the chances that if there was a historical Moses, and I'm willing to accept that there might have been, that he took the time to write all this stuff down?
How, right? What that would last this long?
Well, I think like a lot
tablets?
Of traditions, it's passed on orally through the years. At some point, it gets written down, but it doesn't stay the same.
Calendar conflicts. The Book of Enoch promotes a 364-day calendar, a solar calendar. And the Jewish authorities of the time had moved to a lunar calendar. Theological strangeness. It's heavy focus on demons, angels.
I know. It does seem like a proto-Dungeons & Dragons fan might have gotten a hold of the source
and
material.
And the weird biology of the Nephilim was seen as distracting from the core message of the Gospels.
You're talking about Enoch was given a tour of the land of the dead. This is reminiscent of the Odyssey.
Yes.
This is reminiscent of a lot of ancient works. Gilgamesh, you can find.
Yes.
You know, that was just kind of a trope.
quick history of Nimrod. Nimrod appears in Genesis. He is the grandson of Ham and the first mighty one on earth. A mighty hunter before the Lord. Jewish tradition and commentary suggests he wasn't just hunting animals, but hunting the souls of men who rebelled against God.
I got an interesting side fact. So
yeah, please.
Calling someone a Nimrod as an insult comes from a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
You Nimrod.
And he's making fun of Elmer Fudd, and he calls him, what a Nimrod. Well, the reference is he's a great hunter. It was supposed to be
it's sarcastic.
And now you might hear somebody call somebody, what a Nimrod.
Yeah, Nimrod's like the dope. Well, he established supposedly the first great Babylonian empire, or in the Bible known as Babel. Did you know that Babylon and Babel are the same thing?
Yes, I did.
I had no idea.
I knew that.
And the city of Nineveh. Apparently,
that's where Jonah got puked up by a whale or a big fish. Anyway, did you know that Nineveh, the city of Nineveh,
it was there that he got puked
up. That's where the whale or whatever it was regurgitated.
They must have had a big ass ocean back then. Well, the Tower of Babel. The Bible doesn't explicitly name Nimrod as the builder, but tradition. And specifically,
his Jewish tradition,
firmly identifies him as the leader who ordered the construction to reach the heavens and escape another.
Does everybody know that story?
Flood. It was supposed
to
be
a weird part of the Old Testament.
Everybody spoke the same language at some point, and he wanted a tower to reach the heavens.
So this is also in the book of Genesis. So there's a moment in the creation story where Jesus is talking, is like, we can't let, you know, or not Jesus, but God, is like, we cannot let them taste of the fruit of the tree of good or evil, or they will become like us. Who's us?
Yeah.
I thought there was one God. In the case of, who are we talking about now?
Nimrod.
In the case of Nimrod in the Tower of Babel, so these people in Babylon started building a gigantic tower. It's probably a minaret is what most archaeologists think, because that was the cutting edge technology, or a ziggurat. So kind of a modified pyramid in a way. God makes another appearance where he tells this mysterious person that he shares his thoughts with, they will build a tower high enough to reach into heaven and be as us. So it's another weird thing where, for some reason, the God of the early Old Testament is very worried that the humans are going to become a threat by becoming gods.
And then he does something where all the workers,
he confuses their tongues.
They all start to speak different languages.
That's the story behind why there are so many different languages in the world.
Ah, makes sense. No, it doesn't make sense at all.
I found out a long time ago, you will go crazy trying to make all of these odds and ends and pieces fit and make literal sense. Until eventually, I think people just get frustrated and say, you know what? I'm not going to question it anymore. Okay. That's why I got kicked out of Sunday school one time.
Because you just started asking, who kicked you out? Was it your mom? Did your mom kick you out?
No, it was one of the Sunday school ladies.
Stop asking so many questions. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense. Well, okay, it's interesting that this Book of Enoch thing is coming back. Actually, in 2025, and this past year, I mean, the year so far, this past month, 2026, online, there are a bunch of videos that are popping up debating whether the Book of Enoch was banned or erased from the biblical canon because of its real hidden knowledge that was a threat to the early church.
I could see it being very tempting for some people.
For like cult, like for conspiracy theorists.
Yeah,
and
if
like,
you're into, like, I got a feeling you probably got to kind of be into aliens.
Probably. But it sounds like you're also Christian, too. And it's like you, but you don't trust the authorities, you know, and you're kind of an anti-globalist and you don't trust any.
More Christian, I would say that you are the mindset of Von Daniken. He's the guy who kind of originated the ancient astronaut theory, and he points to all these ancient works where the gods came down and benefited mankind in some way. And that's kind of the story behind almost every religion in the world, is that at one point there were these superior beings who came down and really interacted with humans and helped them out. It's called mythology.
Myth is a big part of the word there.
And I don't say this to be disrespectful. I don't. I have plenty of people very close to me, my family, who say every word is literally true.
You and your brother ever get into these discussions? Never, probably.
No, not with my brother. I have a cousin who's a pastor. He's a pastor of one of the biggest churches in Kansas.
Oh. Oh.
And we'll sometimes go down this road.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So another reason that this has been popping up lately, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a lot of Antichrist and like end of the world apocalypse chatter. Now that chatter may have always been there, but it seems like it's popping up a lot more in pop culture, the zeitgeist.
Okay.
And a lot of people are framing Nimrod as the archetype for the Antichrist, linking his one world government at the Tower of Babel to the modern.
They wanted to make everybody get along, and God doesn't want that to happening.
To the modern New World Order and globalism.
If there's one thing Jesus taught, it was don't get along too good.
Isn't that hilarious?
Well, I do want to temper that by saying I'm not making fun of anybody's beliefs. Everybody's got their own journey. I could save you a lot of time here.
Sure, sure, sure. Let's just finally, I'm going to disprove the thing that AT was talking about. In 2003, the supposed discovery of the tomb of Nimrod.
It's probably just bullshit, right?
Well, a grain of truth. In April of 2003, a German archaeological team led by Jörg Fassbinder claimed to have found what they believed was the tomb of Gilgamesh.
Oh, Gilgamesh.
In the ancient city of Uruk.
Okay, that's a different
thing. Using magnetometry, using magnetic fields to map things. Now, the conspiracy...
Wait, are they saying Nimrod and Gilgamesh were the same?
No, see, this is where it's getting confused. So, that's the kernel of truth. And I'm just saying that this archaeologist claimed he believed
was... It's stunning to say that they found Gilgamesh
in the ancient city of Uruk.
Did they not find Enkidu's tomb as well?
I don't think they did. The conspiracy, because the Iraq war started almost immediately after this announcement, theorists claimed the war was a smokescreen to allow the quote-unquote elites... or Illuminati to seize the tomb and the biological remains
of Gilgamesh.
Of Gilgamesh or Nimrod.
Gilgamesh is not part of either the Jewish or the Christian tradition. Guys.
The theory is that the elites want Nimrod / Gilgamesh's DNA to clone him or extract Nephilim DNA to enhance themselves or bring back an ancient god.
They're going to Jurassic Park Gilgamesh. They're going to find a mosquito trapped in amber that had just been biting on Gilgamesh before he died, and they're going to resurrect Gilgamesh. Wow, that is quite a yarn.
And you were absolutely right earlier when you said that this whole ancient alien theory of things and like that being conflated with maybe some theological sources.
Oh, it's a lot of fun to talk about. Don't get me wrong. It's a lot
fun.
Of fun to talk
it's super
about.
Fun.
It's when people start taking it seriously or literally that you can just kind of be led off the path, I'm afraid.
Some conspiracy theorists claim the Book of Enoch is a field manual to understand what was found in Iraq.
I bet none of those people are actual credentialed Bible scholars.
Some people believe Enoch used high technology given to him by the Watchers. And there is a subset of this theory claiming that the Tower of Babel itself wasn't just a building, but a Stargate. And the U.S. military wants to secure it.
Well, let's get James Spader movies involved by all means. That makes perfect sense.
We're in cuckoo territory when you start. I mean,
no,
you'd
be
cuckoo,
surprised
but...
how quickly you could get into something, and before you know it, it's kind of sucked you in like quicksand. I would say that.
Right. You could Google this. I guarantee you will.
You're
going to
find the thing that backs up whatever it is you want to believe.
A paranormal podcast, and they will. Talk about it with much.
It's probably called the Joe Rogan Show.
Yes, and they will talk about it with much more of a suspension of disbelief than we are showing in this description of it. Don't think that confirms your belief just because
right, because you can find a dude on the internet
that talks seriously about
it. Taking it seriously does not mean they should be taken seriously.
Good point. That's a good point to end it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to finish this off. Don't forget to listen to the regular Buzz M's morning show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time on 95.5 KLQ El Paso's Best Rock. Talk to you next time.